they described the miracles which the Lord made in a very simple way. No decoration, no things like other legends they do, like Superman and unexpected power, things like this. Although he raised death, people from death, although he healed sick people, but they call it in a very simple manner because they want to say that this is the Christ who came to the world. Okay? And the seventh thing, that this eyewitness bear persecution and even threaten of death for their belief. I don't think someone will die for a lie. I may die for some truth. I believe it is true. But I will never ever think about dying for a lie. If they are lying, someday they persecuted, most of them should be leaving their faith or saying, okay, we are not true, to keep their lives. But there, most of them died for their faith. Most of these eyewitnesses died for their faith. In addition to all of this, I can add that the impact of the New Testament and the lives of people, that 2,000 years, it impacted people, changed criminals to be saints, changed people who are lost to be saved, changed so many lives at all that time, 2,000 years working efficiently, in a very, very powerful way. If we add all of this, I think we can say that the account of Jesus in the New Testament is true, and we can accept this. So, the step forward, we take that Christ is true historical figure, and what the Gospels tell about him is true, about his life, his miracles, his teachings. His life and his miracle and his teachings. Well, if I can believe that, and I can believe that, we prove that this is a real historical figure, I can and should ask myself, was he just a man? I think his miracles said no, he's not just a man. His teaching said no, he's not just a man. And his life as a whole said that he's not just a man, because he was born miraculously. He lived his life in a wonderful way. But I have something very, very unique, which is the resurrection of the Lord. Did Christ rise from death? If we can find it rational that he rose from death, I can say that he is not a normal man. Okay? So, do we have something rational to prove that he rose from death? First of all, we have the empty tomb. And the empty tomb is one of the most important proof that Jesus raised from death. Because, you know, the account of the New Testament, which we believe now, we prove it's rational, we prove it's true. The account of the New Testament that one day this tomb was empty. And let us consider a Jewish and a Christian at the day of the resurrection. A Christian is telling that the tomb is empty. If the tomb is not empty, what do you think the Jewish will do? Again? We have two. A Christian and a Jewish in the morning of the resurrection, of Sunday, the first Sunday in the New Testament. Okay? A Christian man is proclaiming that the Lord rose from death and said that the tomb is empty. What would you think the response, reaction of the Jewish?
He took the body.
Mm-hmm.
He took the body away.
They said he took the body.
Maybe.
Okay. And first of all, no one of them denied that the tomb is empty, right? Nobody denied. If the tomb is not empty, at least one of them will say, no, the tomb is not empty. Come, here is the body of Christ, of the dead Christ. Okay? Secondly, nobody said that you are a liar. This is not the tomb which Christ put in. Because, you know, this tomb was very unique, in a unique place. And at that time, the high priest, the priests of the Jewish people, said to Pilate, we know this liar said that he will rise from death. So, you have to put a great stone and put the stamp of the Roman Empire, so that, and put guards on it, so that we be sure that they will never come and steal his body and said that Christ risen. So this is, from the beginning, they know that something like that might happen. But you know, can you imagine how the tomb at that time was? It was something inside the mountain, something very huge, some cave, okay? And they put a very, very huge stone, which needs two or three to push it to close the so that at the time of the resurrection, when the Marys were going to put the perfumes on his body, they were thinking, who will push the stone for us? So it's very, very, very hard at that time. But at this day, what happened is the Christians said at that time, the tomb is empty. The empty tomb declared that the one who was there is alive. Okay, the one who was there is alive. Because neither the friends nor the enemies denied this account. Okay? No one of them at that time, all what they can do at that time, that they gave money to the guards, so that they said that their disciples came and stole his body. Okay. I have a question. Did you think Pilate accept this as a truth? Did he believe that this is what happened? Why no? You know, if he believed that this is what happened, he should kill the guards. This, kill them.
They shouldn't be sleeping.
And this is the Roman law. If you are responsible for something and you lost this thing, your life instead of this thing. This is what happened with the man on the jail in Acts 16. You know, when Paul and Silas were in the prison, and what happened when happened a great earthquake. Then he thought that the prisoners are away. So for this reason, he tried to kill himself. Because he know this is the law. So if we return back, Pilate didn't accept this account, but because he was under pressure from the Jewish priests, he said okay. So can you imagine his disciples stealing his body? I don't think, because let us go 3 days back on Friday of the cross. At that time, we will find, did we find strong people who can do this conspiracy, who can go and push the stone and take the body and go away with it? I don't think.